Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about suicide, life after suicide, a death, transition of a loved one, what happens when you have a knowing before we have an event, and what happens when those that are left behind also, too, now have along their own path a huge shift, a huge change, and how do you find life after an event? Today, my guest is Janet Grillo. Her book is God Promised Me Wings to Fly. There is Life After Suicide. Janet shares her life in which she had a loved one who had a potential suicide, and she will share the story with us today because it definitely is something that are we choosing to see the truth in our life? Are we maybe looking at it through rose-colored glasses? Are we choosing not to see what is really going on? Or have we taken it by the horns and said, I see it, I know it, I can change it, I can't change it, but I'm just going to walk through it? Truly, Janet shares her story in this book, and what she's sharing is her life, how she walked through it with all aspects and just kept going and recreated her own life. Janet, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Janet, don't you think that sometimes when people say, I have these large events in my life, and they say it takes me out, do you think that perhaps maybe your life with all of the struggles that you had through it, it still was a path in which you were going to learn a lot about yourself and the world around you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you don't recognize it at the time when you're in the middle of it because you're only focusing on yourself and you really just wonder how you're going to make it to the next day.
Yeah, and I think also, too, people will say, oh, I don't want to know about the hardships in your life, or maybe why weren't you paying attention? Sometimes I think that we say, do we go through life with eyes wide open all the time? And when we don't, we want to, you know, everybody wants to shake the wagging finger at you, why didn't you pay attention? When it's usually just in retrospect, can you see different pieces of the puzzle, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as much as I thought my eyes were wide open, I was married to a man who treated me like a queen. So I wasn't aware of anything that was going on because he was very good at what he did. He was a very good liar, a pretender. And so right. Because he was so good at what he did, I didn't see any of the signs because he didn't give me any reason to look outside of the beautiful life that he gave me.
You know, it's so interesting, Janet. Just as you said that, I just had this vision of it wasn't even for you to even know anything different at the time because it was about you, all of your expansive learning afterwards. Do you know what I mean? In other words, you enjoyed your life for a period of time and then you'd learn other things later. So it really wasn't a, you know how people want to say, oh, that was a negative, oh, that was a wrong thing. I think it was a beautiful thing the way your life has moved through. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting because in reflecting on everything, certainly after my husband's death, I fell into a fetal position. I mean, when I do book signings and I talk to people about suicide, I tell them that my front story is different than everyone else's, but our back stories are the same, meaning
right.
how do we find hope in a hopeless situation? How do we learn to trust again, especially after a betrayal? How do we find God when he thinks he doesn't want to be found? And so, you know, when you look back and as you reflect on things, you realize that And you realize and you ask yourself the question is, how come I didn't see that? What was going on with that? But my friend's story is that on December 13th, 2001, my husband died tragically, and to this day, I don't know if it was a suicide, assisted suicide, suggested suicide, or murder, because after my husband's death, I found out that he was living a double life, had numerous affairs, and alleged mafia ties. So I say, allegedly, I was a mafia wife, and I didn't know it. 55 family members of his walked away from me after the last shovel of dirt was pitched upon his grave. So it was more like a conspiracy to me to say why. I mean, I was we were together for 18 years and married for 15 years, and what the heck is going on? So, right. You know, when you just think that you think you have it or you think you know it and you think that you're going to have the support of the people that you've been around for a long time, all of a sudden that portion of my family wasn't there. And so I, you know, began an investigation. I'm going like, who is this man who calls me twice a day that tells me that he loves me? Who is this man that, you know, that I don't even know? I feel like I was married and with someone for such a very long time, but I was with a person that I really discovered that I didn't know at all.
Do you think that maybe you were just truly in the beginning before his passing? Do you think really you were in the phase of your life where you were really engaging in the heart? In other words, you really felt like you were living your heart wide open. Because I think that's important, because a lot of times people will say, well, I kind of like had a corner of my heart that I sectioned off because I didn't trust, or I had a piece that I had closed off because I was hurt before. But you were truly engaged in it, and you had your heart wide open, yes?
My heart was definitely wide open, and it wasn't until maybe a couple months before his death where I noticed a change in him. We had the type of marriage that we just never fought. I mean, we talked about many things, but in hindsight, I realized that the things that we talked about were more surface things, that where I've had the opportunity to engage in conversation with really close friends, you know, when someone would say, you know, Janet, how do you really feel? Or what did you think about that? That was never the type of conversations I ever had with him. And if I had that with him, he would have lied anyway. I mean, from what I discovered, it was just like, amazing. I mean, it's bad enough to find out that your husband was involved with even multiple women, even at the time of his death, but then to find out that some of those women were what you thought to be friends of yours. And that was really just mind-blowing. I mean, it ripped, when he died, you know, he ripped out my heart, you know, and then finding out that the people that he had affairs with, it was like ripping my heart and then just stomping on it. And you go, like, what the heck? I can't believe that you would do that. So I was living in a pretend world, but I didn't even know it because people around me, not just my husband, the women that he was having the affairs with, I mean, they were deceiving as well. And it was mind-blowing.
Do you think potentially maybe looking back on it now, you might say that you were having a sense of not knowing the truth about anything in your world, but really feeling as if you were truthful. And now when you turn around, you look at it and you say, I know that truth comes from within and you will find it. In other words, you found it with your connection with God all along in your life. And it was just about, okay, well, let's just take this. It's almost like take this diversion off the highway and experience something else. And then we'll get back on another time. Don't you think?
Right. Well, I do. And then the first thing is because, I mean, I truly was in a fetal position. I was afraid to be by myself. Finding out about alleged mafia connections came a little bit later as people began to open up to me, acquaintances and things, and then putting two and two together, you know, and just trying to discover what was going on. But it's just that, I mean, for me, what happened was, is I started writing in a journal.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to kind of record the events only because in my cold case investigation that I was doing, I wanted to document everything because I knew I wouldn't remember what I was doing. And so what happened was, is that I didn't leave the house probably for several months. And then it's crazy. One time I went to a place to have a massage where I never had been before. Mm-hmm. And when I had the massage, the woman was asking me some questions. And I told her a little bit, you know, I didn't want to go into it because it just wasn't a topic that I wanted to talk about. But she gave me a business card for someone, and she said, you know, you should talk to this person. So I took the business card, and I took it home, and I just threw it in a box on my kitchen counter with no thought of revisiting it whatsoever. And then 2 years after that, I was in that box for whatever reason, and I came upon that card, and it was like it was a command from God. And I picked up the phone, and I called this woman, and I said, my name is Janet Grillo. You don't know me. Someone gave me your business card 2 years ago. I'm supposed to talk to you, and I don't even know why. I don't even know what you do. So she said, come and talk to her, and she will tell me all about her. And if I felt that she could help me, then I could pay for her services.
Right.
As it turns out, she was a grief counselor. And both her mother and her son both committed suicide. So she was the first person that I ever spoke to that was a credible witness, because there were so many people in my life saying, I know how you feel. And I go, you know what? You have no idea how I feel.
Right.
And I pray to God that you never do.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked me if I wrote in a journal, and I proudly sat up in my chair and said that I did. And then she asked me one question that changed my life forever. And that question simply was, is when you write in a journal, do you write to God? I go, really? You can write to God? I didn't know you could do that. She said, yeah. So I left her place, and I went directly to the bookstore, and I bought a journal. And when I bought a journal, it was very important to me that the journal was bound, because the words that I would be writing in that journal, I didn't want it so that I could readily tear out the pages.
Right.
And it was important to me that the journal was thin. And the reason for that is because I didn't want to burden myself with a larger commitment of a much larger journal. So that was really, really important. So I went home and I, you know, sat in a quiet room and I started writing, Dear God, Hear My Prayers. And my writing was probably an inch in size, because I had so much anger that was in my body that the anger was actually destroying me from the inside out. And so, but as I wrote on the pages, I realized that I wasn't just journaling what was happening in my life. Now, when I was writing on those pages and writing directly to God, as I was writing it down, it was coming out of me. And so that was very healing for me in regards to that. And so I started at one of the times that I was driving, and I really suffered a lot from anxiety attacks. And if not everyone has them, and it puts you into a situation, or if you have them, you don't recognize them. But, you know, I truly did, because it was just, I was driving down the road and my husband's and my favorite song came on the radio, which was Hello by Lionel Richie. And I went nuts. I mean, I absolutely went nuts. And I ended up driving and driving, and I didn't even know where I was driving. And I ended up in the parking lot of the church where I would attend with my husband. He was Catholic and I was not. But I ended up sitting in that parking lot probably for an hour looking at the church to go inside and pray. And then there was the rectory on the other side. So with my intention to go into the church, God led me to the rectory. And I pounded on the door like a crazy woman, you know, begging for help. And the woman comes to the door and she says, I'm sorry, there's no one here to help you. And I go, oh, my God. And then I just collapsed at the door steps. And the Monsignor came out. He was getting ready to go to an appointment and certainly canceled it when he saw the condition that I was in. And we talked for several hours. And within that conversation, he said to me, he asked me if I would consider becoming a Catholic. Not that it was a requirement, but they were getting ready to start some RCIA classes, which are the Rite of Christian Initiation classes for adults. And so I went into there very scared. There was about 12 other people. Some were broken, the same as I was broken. And others had already experienced the amazing powers of God. And I went, oh, my God, I want some of that. So I ended up completing the classes and becoming a Catholic. And from that, I ended up sitting perpetual adoration at our church, which is in a chapel at the church. And it's basically a one-on-one in the presence of God. And I purchased a new journal just to write in that journal during that adoration time. And so after months and months of writing to God, I thought, I wonder what he would say to me if he wrote to me. So I turned to the back of the journal and I wrote, "Dear Janet," on the top and "Love God" on the bottom. As I say in my book, empty lines waited patiently while I waited anxiously to see if it was crazy or profound. And about after half an hour, my hand began to move. I wasn't aware of what I was writing. It was coming from my head, my heart, and my soul. And so it gave me very much comfort. And it's crazy how God works. It's because the letter that was written 14 years ago, if I read it today, it seems like it was yesterday. And so I started doing that, and I found peace. I found total peace.
Yeah, I think sometimes, Janet, that many people will say, "God has abandoned me," or, "God, why did you put me through all of this?" And the anger just seems to, it almost seems to overtake every single cell of your being and every aspect of your life. And many times people will say, "I can't find my way out." And what you described just now was your way out, because it's almost like he just kept holding his hand out, and each time it was a message or it was a stepping stone or it was guidance to the next passage, yes?
Yes, absolutely on that, you know. So in my book, I share letters that I wrote to God and letters that God wrote back to me. Interesting, my father died June 21st, 1988, and my mother died June 21st, 1999. Same day, 11 years apart, divorced for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so on one of the times on the eve of their anniversary, or not the eve, but the actual anniversary of their death, I went to their graves, and on one page I wrote, "Dear Janet, love Dad," and the other I wrote, "Dear Janet, love Mom." Mm. And so I just kind of waited, and back in 1988, I was driving a Cadillac SRX, which is like an SUV sort of Cadillac, and then in 1988, my father drove a big yellow Cadillac. I said it had big-ass fins on it, you know, mm-hmm. And the first words that I received from my father was, "As you call that a Cadillac, that's not your father's Cadillac." And I went, "Oh, my God, he's here," you know. So it scared the heck out of me, you know. And for my mother, the letter that my mother wrote to me, it was interesting because at her eulogy, I read the Navajo prayer, like, "Do not stand at my grave and cry, I am not there, I am not. I did not die. You know, I'm right. The birds that sing and things." And for my mother, she reiterated that, that what I had written to her, but she would say, "You know, I'm the sun shining." And she said, "You could feel the sun shining on your eyes. I'm the bird singing, the red-breasted robin that you saw." So for that, again, it's like you read those letters and things that are said that only you know and you understand. So whether it comes from God, from your parents, from the other side, you don't know where it comes from, but somehow it comes to you through your soul, and it means a tremendous amount. And even on one of the anniversaries for my husband and I don't visit his grave often, and now I live in a different state, so I certainly don't do that, but I did go to my husband's grave on our anniversary, and the letter was so real that I got from him that when my daughter read it, she literally threw the journal across the room, and she says, "That's scary stuff, Mom, that's him." You know, so in talking with a lot of people, and I've had a lot of life coaches and things, I've learned I don't have the anger anymore. I realized that in order for me to go through the journey that I did, and still continue to go through every day, is that my husband had to die. Because if he didn't die, then I wouldn't have gone through the pain and suffering. I wouldn't have mentally stepped outside of my body to view myself without judgment or emotion. And I wouldn't have said to myself, there's a bigger story here. There's a bigger plan. So the whole secret of things is going through things. And you have to kind of know that once you go through the things, then you are there to be a credible witness for someone else. But one of the letters that God wrote to me was actually dated June 18th, 2004. Now keep in mind that my book was published in 2018. But in that letter, God said to me, he says, "Know that I have chosen you to do a special task for me, one I don't want you to take very lightly. He said, one day you will write a book, and when that time comes, we will write it together. And through our words, you will bring many people to me. He said, the book will be a great success for you, but a greater success for the people whose lives that you've touched, and they will come to me, and I will put the right people into your life to make that happen. And that truly happens every day. So when I am going through really, really troubled times, that sometimes we make bigger than they actually are, but, you know, when it pulls on your heart and it's really, really tough, is I go back to the thing is that God said to me, I have chosen you to do a special task for me. And I'm going, really, Lord, I was in Mr. Fox's remedial reading class in the seventh grade. Surely you could have chosen someone better than me. And he said, no, I chose you. You know, so I say to a lot of people, and I'm working with veterans now, and say that look at it differently. Don't look at your circumstances totally differently. And with the thought process to say that God has chosen you. You don't know why, but he chose you probably because we're the stronger ones. We're the ones that can handle this. Even in the face of doubt and fear, at the end of the day, we can handle this. But we were chosen because we are here to make a difference in other people's lives. And that's my mission, my goal.
Right. And also, too, I think that, as you said with your husband, I think sometimes there are just people that are put in front of us or circumstances. They play out their message or their story, and then they move on. So just as you said, you know, your husband had to die so he could learn that. It was just that he was there as a position in your movie. You know, his part was finished and he exited stage right, and now you're continuing on with learning more about self and about God and sharing that with others. So that was the bigger picture and the bigger mission of the story. He was just a part that played in that, yes?
Right, and he was like a gift.
Yeah,
I had to look at it like he was actually a gift for me. You
yeah.
know, it's like people come into your life for a reason or a season.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you don't recognize at the time because you're focusing only on the pain. But
right.
one of the things that always bothers me in a sense or just in my thought process is, like, say if you have two people come home from war and they have similar situation in the fact that maybe they've lost their legs. What's the difference between one strapping on prosthesis legs, you know, being an advocate and running a marathon, and the other sits in a wheelchair becoming an alcoholic and drug addict and sits in front of the TV all the time? And I truly believe that the difference is the difference in the closeness to God,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, that maybe I'm supposed to do something with that. And so right now I interview veterans and I tell their stories, you know, and it's interesting because in order to tell their story, they have to relive their story. But it's a story of triumph in the end, and they've overcome so many things. And that's my goal, is to help give people a purpose behind the pain and know that they are there to do something with that so that they can help someone else.
Because it's always, sometimes I think our path gets to be so hard or so dark. Many people say they feel they have shame or guilt about it, or that they have something they need to hide, or they don't feel valid or worthy of, you know, survival of, you know, or even being that person that made it through. And so when you're helping with veterans, you're really giving their story some light. You're shining it out and saying, but look at it differently, because this is a great gift. This is, I mean, you're still standing here today.
Mm-hmm.
There must be purpose, reason, and source in that. And I think once you do that with many people, once you can flip that switch to the other side, say, let's stand up where we are today, and let's look back in retrospect, because that has already passed. And that, too, is such a wonderful gift, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you have to realize that the mind doesn't know the difference between real and not real.
Right.
The mind only knows what you tell it. So if you just constantly tell yourself positive things and try not to measure your success at a day at a time, but write it down in a journal and reflect it, it's a totally different thing. I mean, many times people will read my book and the response is, my God, if that woman got through that, I can get through anything. And so you kind of have to look at it, because in the first stages after my husband's death, I mean, I ended up traveling around the world in a sense, that I was going for like 2 or 3 months, you know, and my daughter said, Mom, you have to come home sometime. And the thing is that I couldn't find Janet, because Janet was nowhere to be found. And mm-hmm. so that was, I knew that in order for me to help others, that I had to become whole. And so I had to definitely start working on myself to gain the confidence to know that my words can make a difference in someone else's life. And I'm just one voice. I mean, suicide is a huge topic. And right now with veterans, there's 22 veterans that commit suicide every day, 660 a month, and over 7,000 veterans a year. And that's staggering. And so one of the times I had the opportunity to go to New York and promote my book to TV, radio, podcast, and magazine people. And during that time, I ended up meeting a woman by the name of Tammy Devine, who owns Crown City News in Sacramento. And so after talking with Tammy and telling her about my concerns about the veterans, why two veterans, you know, react differently and things, we decided that I would interview veterans. So I worked as a freelance writer for them. But one of the veterans that I interviewed was a woman that was considered to be a gold star mom. And a gold star mom is someone who has a child that has died from suicide. And so for her son, he had 3 attempts and succeeded on the 4th time. But she's part of a group that she band up with, and it's called 660 Flags. And so if you go to events like the Vietnam Wall travels throughout the United States, there's also a display of 660 flags to represent the 660 lives that of suicide victims of veterans that takes their lives every month. And just in telling that story to my sister, she says, you know, I've seen a collection of flags, but I never knew what they meant. So from that comment to me, I said, you know what, I'm going to design a flag that when people look at it, they'll know exactly what it means. And so I've recently designed a flag. It took me 6 months to design, but I've had the opportunity to present it to the government, that President Trump is actually looking for something to be the face of his new PREVENTS program, which is the president's roadmap to empower veterans and end the national tragedy of suicide. So right now I'm just waiting for Donald to give me a call and say, okay, I've chosen your flag. So that's still in the making right now, but that's huge. It's going to make a big, big difference. And then I'm actually working with a travel agency right now, and I decided to put on a cruise for veterans. So it's called Veterans Cruise 2020. And September 6th through the 13th of 2020, we're putting together a cruise that will have about 1,000 veterans and their families. And on that cruise, we're also having motivational speakers. Of course, I'll be one of the speakers, but we also have other people who have had triumphs in their lives where they didn't, you know, where they came from anxiety and everything else. One in particular is a veteran who was shot in the face and left for dead, Justin Christensen. And so he's going to be one of our speakers. So I know that we are going to have the opportunity to inspire many people to make their lives better, but also make a difference in other people's lives.
Very exciting work you're doing, Janet. And it's very important, too, and necessary at this time, because so many people really need to have their story shared so that they can just feel that their heart is complete. I mean, that's truly about heart healing. Can we talk about one thing in closing, Janet?
Sure.
A lot of times people will say, after the event of suicide, you know, the survivor's guilt, but also, too, when you went and you then recreated yourself, it's almost, sometimes people will say, I don't want to go out and recreate or learn more about myself or expand or do something differently because I will forget them or I will forget their importance in life. And sometimes we say, are they still tethered to the old story and want to hold on to it so dearly, or are they truly afraid that they might forget them, or they may forget their position in life or how they were engaged in life with them, you know, especially, you know, families with kids that they lose, or it's really difficult, I think, sometimes to say, I'm not going to go on because then I don't want to forget. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're never going to forget them. I mean, they're always going to be in your heart. For whatever people, for whatever reason, people feel that if they don't talk about it, they're letting it go. But in reality, if they're talking about it, they're still remembering the pain.
Right.
So again, you have to turn it in a way to realize that, you know, well, none of us will ever understand the death of a child. That we can die and we will never understand the death of a child.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also heard stories of people where there has been a death of a child and they've chosen to do something different. You know, the Amber Law is a case in point in some of that. So there has been some good that has come out of it, but we have to understand, whether we like it or not, that the person who has died was put into our life for a reason. And then we just kind of have to run with that. I don't celebrate my husband's death. I don't mourn my husband's death anymore because my focus is helping others through the pain that I had so that I know that I can help them through the pain. And now working with the veterans, I mean, gosh, I never in my wildest dreams would I ever think that I would be designing a flag that could possibly be flown at every government agency in the United States. You know, I would never even think that. It's not even in my thought process. So basically, I mean, the things is we have a big circle, and in the circle, 10% might be you know what you know, and 10% is you know what you don't know. So I know that I can't do brain surgery. But what life is and the creation of life happens in that other 80% is we don't know what we don't know. And, for example, the cure for cancer is not going to be found in what we know. It's going to be found in that 80% of what we don't know, what we don't know. So if you look at life and you put a different purpose on life, and you take baby steps because you don't want to take anything bigger than that, and then you kind of move on, you realize that you can truly make a difference in other people's lives, and consequently by taking the focus off of yourself, your life dramatically improves because everything that you do is coming from the heart.
Right, because I think we were meant to grow, we were meant to learn, we were meant to have people come in and out of our lives, and we were meant to feel and have all of these experiences. I think once we have that realization that all is going to be well, just as you connected with God, is once you find that connection, you will definitely know that it's going to be okay and that, you know, you're supported by God. You know, this is the process, all will be well. That is the final healing, yes?
Absolutely. And the crazy thing was is I moved from Delaware to Florida 5 years ago. And I closed up. I was a fine jewelry and diamond broker with my own business for 23 years. And I left there and came to Florida to start a new life, to write books and do some other things. But I was scared to death. You know, I was venturing into a territory that I knew absolutely nothing about. And as I drove down, I didn't even remember driving from Delaware to Virginia because I was crying so hard. And so, but I looked for any sign from God to say, you know what, you're going to be okay. And I saw nothing. I was looking for number 11 or 1111
right.
on the truck or faith or hope or anything that would help me whatsoever.
Right.
So that, and I found nothing. And the closer I got to Florida, the more discouraged I became. And I rented a house on Zillow from Zillow, and I didn't see the house until I pulled up in the driveway, but I knew I had water behind my house, and that was really kind of a fun thing to look forward to. But when I went out back to look at it, I discovered that the owner of the house had put a cross in the water, and next to that cross, there was a white swan sitting next to that cross. And it's actually the cover on my website page. And I really just looked up in the sky, and I put my hands in the air, and I go, you put a cross in my backyard?
Yeah.
But I knew in that moment that everything was going to be more than just okay. And, oh, my gosh, it's just been amazing.
Yes. I think we all dream and hope and pray for a sign at every single moment that we could possibly get, because truly a lot of people are struggling these days, and we just hope to be able to be their sign or their help or their helping hand. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Janet, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today to share your story and your work that you're doing. Can you share your website information with the listeners? That would be wonderful.
Yes, you can just simply go to janetgrillo.com, JanetGrillo.com.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today, because I think sometimes people say, I'm broken and I don't know where to start. And I think your book is a great example of, okay, just keep reading stories, as many as you can, and find your own gems and find your own signs, whatever they are. Someone, you know, might be going through this, but everything in your book may not be for them, but they may find a sign in there specifically for them. In other words, whatever you're guided to hear, see, read, or reach out, take the journey and see where it takes you, yes?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and the thing of it is the excitement is in the not knowing.
Yeah.
And the excitement comes when all of a sudden someone comes back to you and say, you know, thank you so much. Your words helped me heal, or your words helped me look at my life a little bit closer, and now I know that I can find my strength to do something more.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes when you hear the words, you know, I feel like I have anxiety, I have a twinge in my chest, I'm scared. And I say, no, just as your book shares in the front, it says about wings to fly. I'll say, no, that's just God trying to get your wings to start to flutter, right?
Right. That's a good way to look at it, for sure. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Absolutely. Well, Janet, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. I thank you so much for the conversation.
Okay. I'm very grateful. Thank you, and best wishes to everyone, and discover your wings to fly.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Janet Grillo, again, her book is God Promised Me Wings to Fly, There's Life After Suicide. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. And please do check it out, because this is not a solo journey. We are all here to help each other, to guide each other, share our experiences and our stories, and definitely reach out. If you need help, I'm sure Janet will be able to guide you. And you'll find out when those dates are each month that I offer complimentary sessions, so that your words can have a soft place to land, your heart can open up, and we'll be able to start on your soul journey. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Janet Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Janet is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.